Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, June 26, 2022, Romans.
All right, a couple of announcements. First of all, happy birthday to Dodie back here. She's 29. And her escort, her grandfather, brought her to church. Randy. Thanks. What are you laughing at?
Randy took the joke rather than me. That was good.
Well, let me see if I can come up with one for you. For those of you who cannot read, as you came in, schedule change. Schedule change this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Classes are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Why? We're getting all new computers in here. Cliff, Ryan, going to be working their tail off, putting in all new computers in the church, and it'll take them at least 3 days, maybe 3 months. So classes are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 4. We are in the middle of the great parenthesis, verses 17 to 21 of Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship with you in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, Randy's got a great sense of humor. We go all the way back to Wazoo, Washington State University, and that was about 200 years ago. And we went up into the Canadian Rockies in Alberta. Deb and Dodie and Randy and I and golf. We were golfing up there. It's a different type of golf in Alberta, in the Canadian Rockies. We're standing, getting ready to tee off, and the starter says, "We've just spotted a bear on the number one fairway." "We suggest if your ball goes off the fairway, don't go look for it. Just drop another ball and play it. Not to worry." "Bet I'm going to drop a ball." There's something about fighting a bear with a pitching wedge. You know, it just doesn't work. And then they have some great lakes up there. And we got a guide and took us out fishing. And it was kind of, I don't know, it was sunny. And he put this canopy up over the boat. Anyway, the daggum fish kept stealing my bait and stealing my bait and stealing my bait. Like, so I got some bait on there and I am, "You just come on, baby, come on." And there was a boom, 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 bang! I pulled that pole, hit the canopy, sounded like a gun going off. Bang! And the guide says, "Dick, we're fishing for trout, not the great white shark." I did, when I reeled up, I had the fish's lips on the hook. No fish, but I had his lips. And you know, lips are pretty good. You don't get a lot, but... I'm sure many of you got what Jamie's report on the evangelism. The evangelism yesterday was absolutely phenomenal. I'd like to read to you in case you didn't get it. This is from Jamie and the evangelism team. "Thank you all for your prayers. We saw God working out so many details and answering prayers at Child Haven. Renetta told us we would have about 17 children attending. When they brought the group of boys in, there were 10. When they brought the girls in, there were 11. So we're already at 21. Then there were 13, then 14. And then the last lost sheep showed up, number 15. Sherry was teaching about the parable of the lost sheep, and here she was. So we ended up having a mini vacation Bible school, 25 children and 5 adult staff members. Sue, Gresha, and Daria greeted the children using the lamb sock puppets as they came in. The children loved the puppets. Daria used a country cowboy drawl with her sock puppet to give the gospel to the boys, and a cowgirl voice to give the gospel to the girls. You have the gift of tongues. And it's not even operating. And so that was fantastic. Karina taught the girls, and Sherry taught the boys about the lost sheep in Psalm 23. Every child and staff member were positive and engaged in the lesson. They loved making and keeping their very own lamb sock puppets. Al, Deacon Al, was an official googly eye gluer honor. I got to go back over spiritual gifts again. I never spotted that one. The spiritual gift of googly eye gluer honor. Good job by you. And they were so happy to receive a copy of the Lost Sheep Parable Book, the Plan of God Necklace and Booklet, Psalm 23 Coloring Book, and the little purple booklet, the Gospel Booklet. It was so fun to watch the power of God the Holy Spirit take over and get the attention of everyone there. I think we will see a lot of them in heaven. Renetta had told me they weren't going to have us teaching the preschoolers in the future, but by chance, one of the preschool staff came in and saw our class and asked her if we were going to have one for her group. So just like that, now they want us to come back and present the gospel to the preschoolers the next time we visit. Please pray for these children and staff that attended. Also, that the gospel booklet would make it back home to family members. Thanks be to God's grace and God's power. All right, Romans chapter 4. Now we are in the great parenthesis of verses 17 to 21. I want to go back to verse 16 because we're going to, after the parenthesis is over, we're going to continue from verse 16, starting at verse 22. And the rest of the chapter, verses 22 to 25, is the conclusion on salvation. Salvation in the Old Testament is no different than salvation in the New Testament. Salvation is the same throughout all of human history. It's never by works. It's always by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Abraham is the pattern for salvation for the whole human race. And we saw that in verse 16 and then the parenthesis. But we're going to pick it up again at verse 22. So verse 16. For this reason, salvation is by means of faith in Jesus Christ, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace. Salvation is by grace, not by works. For by grace you are saved through faith. This salvation is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So for this reason, salvation is by means of faith, in order that it might be according to the norms and standards of grace, so that the promise of salvation may be guaranteed to all the spiritual sons of Abraham. He's the pattern for salvation for all mankind. Not only to the ones who are of the law, Jews who believe in Jesus Christ, but also to the ones who are of the faith of Abraham, Gentiles who believe in Christ. He, Abraham, is the pattern of salvation for all of us, Jews and Gentiles. Now, a parenthesis, the great parenthesis from verses 17 to 21, but verse 16 is going to be picked up again at verse 22. In the great parenthesis, we have Abraham as a spiritually mature believer. In the verse 16, he's the pattern for salvation. In verses 17 to 21, he's the pattern for spirituality, and he's the pattern for spiritual maturity. Verse 17, as it stands written, a quotation from Genesis 17:5, I have made you a father of many nations before the Lord, whom he, Abraham, believed, faith rests life. Even God, who gave life to the sexually dead ones, both Abraham and Sarah, and has called what did not exist as now existing. Verse 18. Who, Abraham, contrary to all human expectation of having children, believed, maximum faith rest, on the basis of confidence. Confidence in God's promise of having children, with the result that he became the father of many nations, according to what has been written in the past, with the result that it stands written forever, a quotation from part of Genesis 15:5, so your descendants will be. Verse 19, and without becoming weak in faith, he was living the faith rest life. He carefully observed and was totally aware that his own body had received sexual death in the past, with the result that he is in sexual death now, when he was approximately 100 years old. And likewise, he carefully observed and was totally aware of the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's as far as we've gone in the great parenthesis. The fact that Abraham was in a totally hopeless situation did not prevent him from having total confidence in God, that God would fulfill the promise that he gave to him. As a spiritually mature believer, Abraham knows God. He knows the essence of God. And therefore he loves God, and he has great spirituality. In the Old Testament, spirituality was the faith rest life. So in Abraham's eyes, God's promise that he gave to him was absolutely certain to be fulfilled. God and the Word of God, God's promises were more real to Abraham than his completely hopeless situation. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart gave power to Abraham's faith rest life. He had great spirituality. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart of the believer enables the spiritually mature believer to have maximum confidence in God and in His Word when he faces hopeless circumstances. God and His Word is more real to the spiritually mature believer than his hopeless circumstances or situation. In spiritual maturity, the testing gets greater and greater and challenges the believer. What's more real to you, God and His Word or your circumstances? Verse 19 said, and without becoming weak in faith. Spiritual weakness is measured by a lack of the Word of God in your heart. Spiritual strength is measured by a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. So spiritual weakness is the result of a lack of God's Word in your heart. Failure to consistently and faithfully assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Spiritual strength is the result of a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. Abraham had great spiritual strength in the matter of the faith rest life. He had great spirituality, and as a spiritually mature believer with maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart, he knew God and he knew the Word of God, and therefore he loved God and he glorified God. Now that brings us to verse 20, Romans 4, verse 20, in this great parenthesis. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the preposition ace plus the accusative singular of epangelia with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with a definite article, plus the aorist passive indicative of diakrino with the objective negative ou, plus the dative singular of apostia with the definite article. We have the postpositive conjunction. This was up there. You got a chance to see this, didn't you? Don't you? I didn't draw that. I just wanted you to know. Oops. D-E. death. Postpositive conjunction death. It's an adversative conjunction, and it may be translated but, or however, or yet, or on the other hand. We're going to translate it yet. Death sets up a contrast between a couple of things. First of all, it sets up a contrast between Abraham's total awareness of his hopeless situation, contrasted with his maximum faith rest function, believing the promise of God. So it sets up a contrast between Abraham's total awareness of his hopeless situation with his maximum faith rest life, believing the promise of God. And secondly, it sets up a contrast between, in spite of his hopeless situation, with absolutely not doubting, not wavering at God's promise. Sets up a contrast between, in spite of his hopeless situation, with absolutely not doubting or wavering at God's promise that he gave to him. And then the preposition ace plus the accusative. Now, when in my study I got certain books I'm always going to all the time. One of them is Dana and Manti, The Grammar of the Greek New Testament. Also Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon. And both of these say the same thing about the preposition ace plus the accusative with regard to this verse. Dana and Manti, Grammar of the Greek New Testament, page 103. Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 229. Both of them say that in this verse, ace plus the accusative is correctly translated because of. Because of. And then we have tein epangelion tou theou, the promise of God. Because of, yet. Because of the promise of God, and then the verb diakrino. Looks like that in the Greek, that's D-I-A-K-R-I-N, long O. Diakrino. Couple of points on this word, diakrino. First of all, diakrino means to be at odds with oneself. To be at odds with oneself. It means to doubt. It means to waver. It means to stagger. To be at odds with oneself. To doubt. To waver. To stagger. Point two. We have with this verb the objective negative oo. So we have diakrino plus the objective negative oo. It looks like that in the Greek and in the English. And oo slams the door. Abraham absolutely did not waver. Abraham absolutely did not doubt. Abraham absolutely did not stagger. Three. Abraham, as a spiritually mature believer with maximum faith rest, never doubted God's promise. Abraham, as a spiritually mature believer with maximum faith rest, never doubted God's promise. Four. He was never frustrated, bitter, upset, or disturbed over his hopeless circumstances. He was never frustrated, bitter, upset, or disturbed over his hopeless circumstances. But this is how a spiritually mature believer operates. This is SOP, standard operating procedure. This is how you think. The spiritually mature believer knows God. He loves God. He's occupied with Jesus Christ. He knows the essence of God. And he knows the promises of God's word, and he believes them. And they're slam dunk. If God promised this, he's going to do it. That's it. No matter how hopeless the situation is. So he was never frustrated, bitter, upset, or disturbed over his circumstances of, in this case, his hopeless circumstance of sexual death. And then we have apistia. Looks like that in the Greek here, apistia. Now this is a compound word, starts out with the alpha privative. And the alpha privative negates, means no. And pistia comes from pistis, faith. So apistia literally means no faith. It refers to unbelief, lack of belief. And the dative case here is the dative of cause and correctly translated because of unbelief. So the corrected translation, yet because of the promise of God, he absolutely did not waver or doubt because of unbelief. Yet because of the promise of God, he absolutely did not waver or doubt because of unbelief. I mean, you got to love Abraham. He is one of the greatest believers of all time. In the Old Testament scriptures, he's one of the greatest believers of all time. And then it says, but was strong in faith. The conjunction Allah plus the aorist passive indicative of enduna ma'o plus the dative singular pistis with the definite article. This time we don't have de as the conjunction of contrast. We have the strongest conjunction of contrast in the New Testament scriptures, Allah. It is correctly translated, but let's note the contrast. One, Allah contrasts unbelief with maximum faith rest life. Now we've studied the faith rest life over and over and over again many, many times. And if you are new here and you hear that term faith rest life and you're interested in getting more, because I'm not going to go over faith rest life in detail this morning, out there in the on the booklet shelf, you will see the faith rest booklet. Grab one, take it with you, study it, and read it, and come back, and you'll be ready to roll next time you're here. See? So, first of all, Allah contrasts unbelief with maximum faith rest life. Two, Allah contrasts doubting God's promise with total confidence in God's promise. It contrasts doubting God's promise with total confidence in God's promise. Three, it contrasts wavering over his circumstances, his situation, with standing strong by God's grace and the powerful word of God in his heart. It contrasts wavering over his circumstances and situation with standing strong by God's grace and the powerful word of God in his heart. The word of God is alive and what? Powerful. The word of God is alive and powerful. Now, it's not alive and powerful sitting there in your lap. It's alive and powerful when you believe it, and it's in here in your heart. And that's where it was with Abraham. The word of God is alive and powerful, and it was in Abraham's heart. So it contrasts wavering over his circumstances with standing strong by God's grace and the powerful word of God. And then the verb endunamao. That's E-N-D-U-N-A-M-O, long O. Endunamao. This is a compound word again also. In dunamao is from the with the noun dunamis, which means power. In fact, dunamis is where we get our English word dynamite. And so this literally is in power. So a couple of things about this verb. One, in the active voice, en dunamao means to strengthen. To strengthen someone or something. Two, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to become strong, to become empowered. To become strong, to become empowered. Three, the spiritually mature believer becomes empowered, and then we have te piste. Look, I'll even give it just like it looks. This is the noun pistis with the definite article in the dative case. In the dative case. So we have the dative of means instrument. The dative of means instrument. And so it's translated by means of. Val, you need something to drink? Whiskey? You don't get any, but I just thought I'd ask. If you need some water, we can get you some water. You're good? All right. Okay. So the dative case of pistis is the dative of means instrument. You translate it by means of. So point three, the spiritually mature believer becomes empowered by means of. Now, pistis, I'll give it to you in the lexicon, looks like this, P-I-S-T-I-S, has three meanings. It sometimes means faithful. It sometimes refers to the act of faith, like the faith rest life. At other times, it refers to the body of faith, that which is believed. And here refers to the body of faith, or that which is believed. So point four, the believer attains spiritual maturity by means of getting the body of faith, the word of God, in his heart. The believer attains spiritual maturity by means of getting the body of faith, the Word of God, into his heart. Learning it, believing it. And when you believe it, it goes into your heart, and now it becomes something the Bible calls in the Greek Sophia, in the Hebrew Chokhmah, wisdom. And wisdom, it technically means to be a skilled professional. And what does God want you to do? He wants you to be a professional in applying His Word skillfully and accurately to your life, to every situation in your life, to every circumstance in your life. That's a wise believer. That's a believer with wisdom. He can skillfully and accurately apply the Word of God to his life, his situation, his circumstances, no matter what it is. That's wisdom. That's Sophia in the Greek. That's Chokhmah in the Hebrew. It's the Word of God that you believe. Now, if you don't believe the Word of God, and there's believers, that there's a lot of people out there that don't believe, you don't have any wisdom either. I don't care what your human IQ is, you don't have any wisdom. Wisdom comes from faith in the God-breathed Scriptures. When you believe the God-breathed Scriptures, it goes into your heart, and now you have wisdom that you can apply to whatever's going on in the world, whatever's going on in America, whatever's going on in your marriage, in your family, at work, whatever. You can apply the Word of God skillfully and accurately to your life. 5. By means of the body of faith, maximum metabolized doctrine in Abraham's heart, he had the power to face his hopeless situation and glorify God. That's why we're here. You know why you're here? You're here to glorify God. We're only here a short time. You don't want to miss the opportunity. We're here to glorify God. So you find a sound Bible teaching church, hey, great, now grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advance to spiritual maturity, and glorify God. I don't care what's going on out there. Glorify God. And God has the most amazing plan for your life, and that plan is for you. He wants to give you the highest and the best of grace and blessing. And when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, God will pour out the highest and the best of grace and blessing. When that happens, well, you'll have Christmas every single day. You'll have Christmas every single day. That is what you... Is there anybody here that does not want to have Christmas every single day? Now, we celebrated Dodie's birthday. She does not want to have a birthday every single day. Christmas every single day? Yes. Thanksgiving every single day? Yes. And when you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you'll have Christmas every single day. You'll have Thanksgiving every single day. And you will glorify God. We're here a short time, but you will glorify God while you're here. And when you glorify God while you're here in time, you'll glorify God forever and ever and ever. So by means of the body of faith, maximum metabolized doctrine in Abraham's heart, he had the power to face his hopeless situation and glorify God. 6. Without metabolized doctrine in the heart, there is no power to face adversity. Without the Word of God in your heart, there is no power to face adversity. Seven, Abraham became empowered by means of the body of faith, the Word of God, that he believed and was in his heart. Abraham became empowered in his soul by means of the body of faith, the Word of God in his heart. And therefore he had maximum faith rest life. He had maximum spirituality, and he gave glory to God. He glorified God. So, corrected translation, but he became empowered by means of the body of faith, metabolized doctrine in his heart, and then it says, giving glory to God. Aorist active participle of ditto me plus the accusative singular of doxa plus the dative singular of theos with the definite article. Ditto me. Looks like that in the Greek. D-I-D long O-M-I. Ditto me. Ditto me is the Greek verb to give. Now the participle is circumstantial attendant circumstance. That means it has the same force as the main verb. The main verb, endunomao, to be empowered. And so it has the same force as endunomao. And then doxa, D-O-K-S-A, doxa means glory. And then theos, T-H-E-O-S, this is the Greek word for God. It's in the dative case. Now, this is a different dative case. The last one was dative of means instrument, by means of. This is dative destination recipient. And so you translate it to God. The dative of destination recipient, to God. So the corrected translation. Yet, because of the promise of God, Maximum faith rest life. Abraham absolutely did not waver or doubt because of unbelief. But he became empowered. Empowered by means of the body of faith, the word of God in his heart, and he gave glory to God. All right, let me read that to you again. Yet because of the promise of God, maximum faith rest life, he absolutely did not waver or doubt because of unbelief, but he became empowered by means of the body of faith, the word of God in his heart, and he gave glory to God. One, as a spiritually mature believer, Abraham is living his life by the grace and power of God. That's the only way to live. Only way to live your life as a believer in Jesus Christ is by the grace and power of God. If you're living it by your power, well, that'll never work. The energy of the flesh, the sin nature, will never work. As a spiritually mature believer, Abraham is living his life by the grace and power of God. Two, by means of the body of faith in his heart, the powerful word of God, Abraham had maximum faith rest life and great spirituality. By means of the body of faith in his heart, the powerful word of God, Abraham had maximum faith rest and great spirituality. Three, Abraham knew the Lord and he loved the Lord. He is a spiritually mature believer who is occupied with Jesus Christ. He knew the Lord, he loved the Lord, he is a spiritually mature believer who is occupied with Jesus Christ. Four, therefore, the Lord is more real to him than his hopeless situation of sexual death. Therefore, the Lord is more real to him than his hopeless situation of sexual death. Five, God is glorified when the believer is occupied with Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:20-21, the Apostle Paul describes it this way: for me to live, Christ. There is no verb there. The absence of the verb makes it very emphatic. For me to live, Christ. To die, profit. When your life, when living is Christ, not every single, every other stupid, asinine, immaterial thing, but when it gets to the point where for me to live is Christ, you're there. Paul says living is Christ, dying is profit. That's occupation with Jesus Christ. Living is Christ. God is glorified when the believer is occupied with Christ. Six, the hopeless situation in your life is a great opportunity for you to glorify God. The hopeless situation in your life is a great opportunity for you to glorify God. Because the Lord is more real to you than your adversity or your suffering. Because the Lord is more real to you than your adversity or your suffering. Seven. Maximum amount of the Word of God in the heart of the believer glorifies God. Maximum amount of the Word of God in the heart of the believer glorifies God. So verse 20, yet because of the promise of God, he absolutely did not waver or doubt because of unbelief. But he became empowered by means of the body of faith, the word of God in his heart, and gave glory to God. All right. We're one verse to go in the great parenthesis. We'll take a break and let you get out and cool down out if you want to go outside. Just kidding. You probably won't cool down out there.